We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
All right. All right.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott.
And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Freddie Scott Show. This is your host, Freddie Scott, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you so much for joining us. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter by following me at Freddie Scott, or go online to freddiescott.org. The call is free, 888-346-9144. That's 888-346-9144. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We'll be talking about what does success look like for your family. We've also got Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy talking about humility and success. Cleveland Browns starting quarterback Colt McCoy sharing his thoughts on what success means to him, courtesy from our good friends at I Am Second, as well as my good friend Scott Baker will be giving us some tips to achieve our family goals. And as always, we'll finish up the show with an all-pro dad play of the day. Now joining us today is the host of Voice America's Life After the Game, and actually one of my old teammates with the Detroit Lions, Lamar Campbell. He's joining us as to talk a little bit about this weekend's games. And Lamar, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Freddie. How you doing today, brother? Congratulations on the show. I had a chance to listen to your first show. You're doing an awesome job. So definitely blessings and good luck with the rest of the shows after today. You're doing an awesome job, my man.
Well, Lamar, you know, this whole thing started with you through our connection. You had me on your show, Life After the Game, which is just an amazing show. If you have not had a chance to hear Lamar's show, man, you got to check him out. He is doing his thing and sharing insights from an athlete's perspective that our lives aren't over once clock hits zero on the field, but there is life after the game of sports, after the game of athletics, and touching on a lot of impacting issues as it relates to athletics and sports and business. Especially, there's so many guys in sports that translate and are very successful in the business community. So, Lamar, I want to just give you your shout-out on that and appreciate you opening up the door for me to have the show here. But, man, this weekend, I mean, when you look at the fact that now no lead is safe, it used to be in the NFL, if you got up 10 to 17 points, the game's pretty much over at this level right. of competition. Now, we had two games yesterday where you had the 49ers and the Lions mount come-from-behind victories on the yes. road. Now, it's one thing if it's a home team that does it because you got the edge, the home field advantage, and all of that.
Right.
But you had two road teams beat teams mounting come-from-behind victories. So which game, the Niners or the Lions game, was more surprising to you?
You know what, and I'm not just saying this, Freddie, because we played for the Lions, but how proud can we not be of our Detroit Lions in the way that they came back down 20-plus points in the third quarter, and such a young team coming and stepping up and just pulling off an amazing win in Dallas Stadium with the Dallas Cowboys coming off a great Monday night win. I mean, that was just amazing.
You know, I've got to say that as well. I think the fact that the Lions are playing with that amount of confidence, I said last week on the show, and I'm sure you being a Badger too, you can attest to this, that one of the things Coach Paterno used to always tell us as players is when you're playing against a team that's inferior to you, that's not really as good talent-wise as you are, you never want to give that team hope, because as soon as that team believes that they can win, all of a sudden they start making plays that they've never made before. And it looks like the Lions are playing with a level of hope and confidence that they feel and actually believe that they can and should win any game that they're in, regardless of what situation. This is what, the second game that they've had come from behind victories on the road. They did it in Minnesota, and now they've done it in Dallas. And I think that's probably a very dangerous thing right now, to play against a team that not only has talent, but also believes that they can win. They've got hope, and that is something that is just huge today.
It's definitely huge, you know, and, you know, as you know, the Detroit Lions had a rough year. You know, they went winless 2 years ago. But if you look at last year, Fred, these guys have actually won, if you include the preseason and last year, these guys are up to about 8 or 9 straight wins. So not only do these guys believe in themselves, but they're playing great football. Matthew Stafford is healthy. Charles is becoming, as they call him now, Megatron, is really getting the exposure that he deserves. And those guys are playing great defense. Now, not to take anything away from the Detroit Lions, but Tony Romo had a terrible game. And, you know, he just is in a situation where, you know, he has broken so many hearts in his career so far. Not only just to throw three interceptions, but to have those interceptions returned for touchdowns. And I think this is a case of the NFL kind of starting to bite itself after, you know, they want the NFL to be an offensive league. They want to put everything in terms of the offense. But in the old days, down 20 points, all you did was run the ball, and you were better off punting the football, Freddie, because the life of another team going 80 or 90 yards to score a touchdown in the NFL was just unlikely. But when you're down 20 points and you're still throwing the ball around, you know, this is where it comes to that running game. I think that's what they were lacking yesterday, and gave the Lions a chance to come back in, and they took advantage of that opportunity.
Wow. Well, I've got a caller on hold, Dion from Detroit, calling in. Obviously, hopefully you're dusted off your jersey, that hopefully you didn't have it tucked away in a closet. It wasn't too hard to find it. But Dion, welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
We're doing great, Dion. Give a shout out to Lamar out there.
Oh, I just wanted to call in and give a shout out to them Lions, man. Them boys did good. They 4-0. Everybody, I think they're going to make it, man. That's all I wanted to say. Dion from Detroit.
Well, appreciate you, Dion. And you know what? It's amazing to see what happens in the entire city, you know, when a team is doing well. Not only, of course, in Detroit, you got the Tigers tied up the series 1-1 against the Yankees. The Lions have had two great come-from-behind victories here. And it is a very, very good thing. It's been a long time coming in Detroit. I'm a second-generation Detroit Lion. You know, my dad played from 78 to 83 up there with Billy Sims and Eric Hipple and Gary Danielson and the Silver Rush days. So Detroit, if you're on the line, go ahead and call in, share your love with, and shout out. It's been a long time since you've been able to say we are the number one seed in the NFL, not just the NFC, but the NFL.
That's good, man. I just wanted to call and give a shout out to the line.
Hey, thank
Detroit,
you,
man.
Thank you, Dion.
Thanks for going with y'all, man. Y'all have a good day.
All right, you too, Dion. Good looking out. So, yeah, Lamar, you're exactly right. And that's one of the things I did want to talk about at some point today was the whole Tony Romo issue, is the fact that the Cowboys, and this is my prediction, the Cowboys will not win a Super Bowl with Tony Romo at quarterback for one reason. And that is because Tony Romo is consistently inconsistent. You don't know which guy you're going to get. In this league, you cannot win if you don't know what you're going to get out of your star quarterback. What do you think, Lamar?
Right, exactly. And you know what? I have to say, you know, coming off what he did in San Francisco playing with a bruised rib, and I know he got a lot of, I know Tony Romo received a lot of flack for the hide-and-seek rumors that, I teased him about it on my show as well, playing hide-and-seek at his bachelor party. But showing the courage that he showed to come back against San Francisco and to win that game. And then Monday night with the young core of receivers that he had out there, but he was able to pull that game out. Why can't that guy show up every week? And as you said, Freddie, consistently inconsistent. You cannot win in the NFL with an inconsistent quarterback. And sometimes it's not all about making a big play. It's playing mistake-free football. He could have easily threw those balls that were interceptions to the Lions. He could have threw those out of bounds. He could have tucked the ball. He could have slid somewhere, but he threw it. He has a little bit, and as I said last week, Brett Favre was his idol, and Brett believed, as you know, he can make every throw. Tony needs to get a grip on himself and realize he's not Brett Favre. He can't make every throw.
Now, you also saw that both Philly and Dallas, of course, had the crumbles and mm-hmm. losing those games. Which city do you think should be more concerned? Should Dallas or Philadelphia be more concerned about those meltdowns?
You know what? I think Philadelphia as a team should be more concerned. I grew up in Philly, and you're a Penn State guy, so you know how Philadelphia should be. All they want is your best. If you're giving them your best, Philadelphia fans will stay with you. But, I had a talk with a good buddy last night. I really blame it on Vince Young. As soon as that dream team started floating around, I had a bad feeling about those guys in Philadelphia. Michael Vick is consistently hurt, and they are not only overpaid on defense, but their tackling has been horrible. I don't know whether it's a situation where these guys didn't have a chance to, because now, we played when we had 2-a-days with 4 pads. We had to tackle both of those practices. Now you have guys going to camp in a lockout, shortened off season, and now you want these guys to play tackle football, and the Eagles' tackling has been terrible. The dream team is now 1-3. In a city of brotherly love, and I'm sure everyone right now has forgot about the Eagles and are rooting for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, man. Well, it's sad. I think the Eagles have the talent. I think all of their games that they've lost were games they should have won. In fact, those are games that they've given away. Their field goal kicker missed 2 field goals there in the second half. I don't know what Ronnie Brown is thinking of when he just threw the ball there on the goal line. That's 9 points right there, and you've got your victory. And so, again, it's situations where I think it's easier for them to say, these are losses, but really we played good enough where we should have won, but we just made some bonehead decisions or poor turnovers at the wrong time, versus the Cowboys. Romo can't say he played well. And so that is something that is still going to be seen. I think the Cowboys should be more concerned because Vic did play well. DeSean Jackson did receive over 170 yards in receiving yesterday. Vic threw for, I think, over 400 yards. Vic is doing his thing. The talent players on offense is doing their thing. The issue is the defense, like you said, is not holding down their side of the game. We are under 2 minutes before our first break already. And I have one last question for you. We've got reports that Big Ben is in a boot. And obviously the Steelers have come from, they're 2-2 now, not exactly what they thought they would be. But do you think that the Steelers can still win without Ben Roethlisberger at the quarterback? And you've got the Tennessee Titans coming off, the 3-1 Tennessee Titans coming off some big wins. They beat Baltimore, who looked very impressive against the Jets. They beat Baltimore, and so you've got Tennessee coming into Pittsburgh. Can the Steelers win without Ben?
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that they can win without Ben. I know Mike Tomlin is not going to let his team have 2 bad games where they're going to play not Steelers football. And also, let's not forget, if Charlie Batch does have to play, remember when Ben Roethlisberger was suspended last year, Charlie Bass took the Steelers to 3-1 before Ben Roethlisberger got
that
back last year off of that suspension. So I think with Charlie Bass under the center and with the defense going to come back and Troy Polamalu, Harrison, those guys, they're not going to play 2 weeks consistently bad football. I think Mike Tomlin will have his boys ready. I'm going to go ahead and take the Steelers over the Titans.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, Lamar, for joining me today. Hey, when we come back after the break, we're going to hear from Cleveland Browns starting quarterback Colt McCoy give his thoughts on what success means to him. We still have Tony Dungy going to be talking about humility and success, and a good friend, Scott Baker, giving us tips for success for our families. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show.
Internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
With 2.8 seconds left
to left.
I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the show. Again, we're so excited about everything that's lined up today. If you just joined us, you just missed Lamar Campbell, from host of Life After the Game, right here on Voice America, talking about this weekend in sports and his predictions on next week's games. Right now, we have a great interview, courtesy from my great friends at I Am Second, with Colt McCoy, starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, talking about his thoughts on what success truly means to him. Here's Colt McCoy.
There's so many things that that the world signifies as success. It involves winning. It involves Heisman trophies. It involves All-Americans. It involves lots of money, getting paid, going to the NFL. For me, I'm successful in life because I have Jesus Christ living inside me. I don't think God necessarily cares about wins and losses. For me at Texas, I think he believes about my faith and what am I doing to make sure that I come and live in heaven with him someday, and who am I bringing with me. I feel like God has raised me, he's made me the man that I am, and he's put me where he wants me. And that's at the University of Texas playing quarterback. I want to win football games worse than anybody that you know. I'm a competitor. I want to win. When I'm on the field, that's the most important thing to me, is what I can do to be the best that I can be to help my team win. And afterwards, I know that I played that game for God. Having a personal relationship with Christ is probably the biggest decision that any of us will make. You know, it goes deeper than going to church, than just acting like a Christian. If one of my teammates comes up to me and asks me, "Hey man, how do I get to heaven?" I think that that is a huge open door of opportunity to sit down and open up the Word, pray with them, and say, "Look man, anybody can get to heaven. All you gotta do is have Christ living inside of you." That's what I strive to get across to all my teammates, that God is love, man. God is awesome. And he's there for you. You need him right now more than any other time in your life, because it's right now. It's not in the future. It's not in the past. It's right now. Guys who decide that, you know what, It's not for me right now. Someday when I'm done with this, when I'm done having fun, I'm going to, you know, pray to God, and He's going to forgive me, and I'm going to get back on track with Him. Now, that's not the attitude that we're called to have. We're called to be followers of Christ. I'm definitely not perfect. I have my ups and downs. I make mistakes. But at the same time, nobody is. Jesus Christ was the only man who was perfect on this earth. And He's the only man that will ever be perfect. So I don't want you to remember me as the guy who made great plays on the football field, as the guy who, you know, who made a great pass for a winning touchdown, who made this great drive at the end of a game. I want you to remember me because I was here for you. I want you to remember me because, you know, we sat down and had Bible studies together, and you came to know Christ better. When I think of Jesus Christ, I think of a warrior, but I also think of a servant, and that's what, you know, I strive to be. I'm Colt McCoy, and I am second.
Wow. A lot of times as men, when we think about success, especially athletes, you think about success as something that is only attained on the field and not necessarily about what really matters in life and what really means, what really matters as far as what is success in my life versus success just on the field as an athlete. And I really appreciate what Colt McCoy had to say there, that success to him is all about his personal relationship with Jesus Christ and making sure that he is more kingdom-minded than just focused on trying to make the right throw, have the game-winning drive, and all of that. And I think that that's very relevant to what we're going to be talking about today, because a lot of times as men, we don't think about what success really looks like for our family. What goals are we trying to successfully love and lead our families to achieve? And today as our guest, I have a very good friend, Scott Baker, who is the founder of His Barn. His Barn is a unique men's ministry formed to assist men in their quest to impact the kingdom as husbands, fathers, sons, brothers, and most importantly, disciples in Christ. His Barn is known for its annual revival, which I had the pleasure of speaking at this year, held in the pasture of the barn. Scott is also the president and CEO of National Nail Corp, and under his leadership, the company has nearly tripled in size, expanded across the country, and developed a global sourcing and supply chain process. The company is now 100% employee-owned, and Scott continues to build the culture and leadership of his team. Scott is married to Christy and has 4 children and 1 grandchild. I want to welcome to the show Scott Baker. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hey, Freddie, great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me today. And again, when we're talking about what does success look like for your family, when you're talking about achieving goals with your family, what are some of the things that guys can do to, first of all, even set a goal? What's that first step in the process in achieving goals? I know we talked offline before about having a mission statement and what's your purpose, and what does that look like?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, as a CEO of a company, you know, Freddie, I'm expected to have purpose for my company, vision for the company, goals for the company, and plans for the company. And that makes sense in business. It even makes sense when we coach sports teams. We coach our kids' teams. But what's interesting, Freddie, is when we get inside our house, for some reason, many of us as men, we don't bring that same thinking to our families. And I think that's one of the reasons why we see families be dysfunctional. We're doing family instead of living family, because the father, myself, we're not taking the leadership role in our families to define, you say, what success looks like, but what the purpose of our family is, and the goal should be for our family and for our kids.
So then what should I do? Okay, I love my family. You know, I want to do what's right for them. I want to do the right thing, but I didn't know I was supposed to have goals. I thought that having a family simply meant, you know, I'm coming home and I'm living with them. I'm living with my wife and my kids, and, you know, we'll talk, and if problems come up, we'll address it. But how do I make a transformation from just living with my family?
Yes.
To leading my family to accomplish our purpose and goals.
Yeah, I like how you said that. You know, we just kind of deal with things as they come up. You know, as a CEO, I think I shared with you, if I didn't do these things, I'd get fired. And we often challenge men that if you're not doing them at home, should you be fired there as well? And the response we often get is what you just said. It was never modeled for me. I never saw it. I didn't know I was supposed to do it. Or I'm afraid to do it. I don't know how to do it. I know how to lead in business or with my team, but I don't really know how to do it in my home. And I'm afraid to do it. And so what we try and do with our guys is one, start with why that's important to do. And this is a sports talk show, and you and I talked about this a little bit, but it's really unfortunate how much time guys will spend preparing for the fantasy football draft and tracking all their fantasy football people and planning, right, and setting goals for that week, yet they don't take that same thinking to planning my 9-year-old's life for the next year. And where do we want him to be from here until next year? Or where do I want that relationship to go with my wife? Or what's truly unique about my family? So we try and first, Freddie, just get that across to men that the greatest legacy that they're ever going to have is inside their home. It's not on their fantasy football team. It's not at deer camp. And it certainly isn't at work. So we start there by just really trying to get them to understand the importance of the lasting impact of intentionally planning for your family and establishing goals for your family. But that's where we start. And then, another, one of the next things we do, you know, with guys is, you know, we ask them to pray, Freddie. We ask them to pray and thank God for the incredible responsibilities given them as a father and a husband. We ask them to ask for wisdom and guidance and discernments from God, because that's where all the purposes come from. And he's a father as well. So he understands our struggles. He understands, you know, our weaknesses are. He understands some of the difficulty we may have. But we start there with a lot of prayer, Freddie, and then we move into some other steps.
Wow. So then if I'm a guy, because we have a couple minutes before our first break, what can we do then to truly start on that journey of leading successfully? I want to write this plan. What does that look like? How do I write a strategic plan for my family? I've never done that before. So what would that first step be?
Yeah, so after the prayer and kind of getting right from God and inviting him into the process, because you've got to have him involved in the process, the next thing that we encourage guys to do then is engage your spouse. If you're married, your spouse could be on the same page. So let's assume that you and your spouse are on the same page with the need for this in your family. Is we encourage men to look at each individual within the family. So you, your spouse, your children, and begin making lists, such as, I have an 11-year-old daughter. What are her areas of giftedness? What are her areas of, what does she enjoy doing? How does she, what does she like to do in terms of serving other people? What life-changing events does she have coming up in her life? What season of life is she in? What is she, when she's having fun, what is she doing? Who's she with? So we write down each one of these for every person in the family. And then we also have each of the other family members write those about each other.
Mm.
And then the idea is to then share those with each other. Because what we want to do is align areas of giftedness, areas of uniqueness, areas of interest, and then areas of big monumental impact or change that's coming up, which will then filter into some of the goal setting and establishment of a family purpose.
Well, you would think that we'd understand this as guys, because, you know, if you follow a sports team, you know, you understand that different teams have different strengths and certain weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so if I know I'm following a team that has a great quarterback like the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, well, you know what, he's going to put the ball up 40, 50 times a game because he has a gun, he can do it. You know, they're not going to win the game rushing the ball for 30 times a game. They're going to win on the arm, the strength of the passing game.
Sure.
Well, it's a very similar thing of identifying the strengths of the people that you love and identifying what are the things that easily put a smile on our kids' face, on our family's face, and what are the things that they are already wired? What are they passionate about doing? What can they do without even thinking about it that they love to do all the time? Mm-hmm. A lot of times that's a good indicator to know that that's something that God wired in them to do, and that could be an area of coaching and developing and saying, okay, God, what do I need to do to help cultivate this even more? We've got under a minute before we go to break. When we come back from the break, could you share with us some more of these tips on how I can truly apply these tips and strategies to my family so that when the guy goes home today, I want callers to be able to, and listeners to be able to today apply some of these things to their life where they can accomplish some of these God-ordained goals for their families.
Absolutely.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back right after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the show. If you are just joining us, you missed a great conversation with Lamar Campbell, host of Life After the Game. And right now we're joined by Scott Baker, who's giving us some really great tips on how to accomplish the goals for our families. And we, right before the break, we were talking about some of those things. But during the break, we talked about another great analogy about scouting, how us as guys, we understand how to scout. You know, or in recruiting and in college, and we understand assessing talent and making sure that our favorite team has the best talent. That, you know, we look at ESPN; they do all the rankings of which college team has the best recruiting class coming in. We stay glued to the TV for the NFL draft because we want to see who our team drafts, because we want to know the talent that's coming on our team. And we also know the needs. We understand, you know, man, we need a pass rush. Man, we need another running back. We need another offensive lineman. But if we understand that when it comes to athletics, how much more should we understand that when it comes to our own families and assessing the strengths and weaknesses of our family? So, Scott, let's pick up the conversation right there. And you were sharing offline some of those things. So what else can we do in applying this to our families?
Yeah, Freddie's spot on. You know, we talk with men; they know more about what Freddie just discussed than than maybe the history test that's coming up, or our daughter's best friend, or what our son might be most afraid of. And, you know, one of the words that I like to use and we try and use with men is the word be intentional. We're real intentional about the stuff that Freddie talked about, but are we equally intentional about what the real matters of the heart should be, which is our spouse and our kids? And often we're not. We're not. We just kind of take that thing for granted, that role that we have in the house. But, you know, as we left for break, we were talking about looking at each one, yourself as the husband and your wife and your kids, but just doing this, Freddie referred to as assessment, a SWOT assessment. What are the strengths? Where are those opportunities for growth within your child? What are those significant events that are going to be happening in your child's next year? What are the goals you have for your child? And bringing those back together as a family. And then discussing what we did with our family is we then discussed what is truly unique about our family. God has made each one of us unique. There isn't another Freddie on the planet. There isn't another you on the planet. You are unique. You have a unique purpose. And each family is unique, and each family has a unique purpose. And what is it? And so you bring that back, and I tell you what, the conversations around our kitchen table, when you begin having those conversations, are an absolute blast when you invite your children into the process. I'd commented to Freddie yesterday. We had talked about purpose, and my 11-year-old had described her purpose as being one of compassion and giving those who were underserved and underprivileged. And I flipped that to my 9-year-old, and he thinks his purpose is to be the best 9-year-old soccer player at the moment. But the point is, right? You know, the point is, you stay with it, man. You stay with it. You've got to be intentional. You plant the seeds on purpose. You plant the seeds on goals, because at some point your kids are going to get it. But once you bring this back to your family, you come up with a unique purpose for your family. What are those things that are different about you? What are the things that your family enjoys doing together? What are those goals you have for a family to grow together and then touch the community? One of the things I share with Freddie that I do with my high school age son, he's 19 now, is we created a card. We broke his purpose card, if you will, down into five areas. One was academics. Another one dealt with physical exercise. The third was church and service. The fourth was work. And the fifth was social. And we had goals under each one of them for him. And each month, he'd haul out his card. I carried it. He carried it. And he had mine as well. And we'd have breakfast. And we'd talk about where we're at. How are you doing on your goals, Dad? How are you doing on yours, you know, Travis? But you got to keep it in front of you. You've got to keep it in front of you. So for the big kids, what we do is we do the cards. For the family, we put stuff on the refrigerator, you know, Freddie. And for the little kids, we put them up on the fridge as well. And what's important is this thing about being intentional. Mm. What's coming up? Okay, I know that my 9-year-old is now in a math class and he wants to get certain points. What are we doing as a family to support him? What are we doing to encourage him? What are we doing to help him achieve his goals? And then when the goals are achieved, how do we celebrate? I mean, these are all things we do at work, but we forget to bring him to the house and be real intentional about, you know, like you said, the goal setting and then how we're going to help each other succeed in our family, nurture, support, share, encourage, and then celebrate all along the path.
Well, it's amazing because when you're talking about being intentional, as an athlete, I can say I want to play in the NFL. I can say I want to play college. I can say I want to be the starter in high school, whatever level you're talking about. But you know what? There's some work that has to be done every day, whether or not it's in the weight room, whether or not you're out running, whether or not you're learning the playbook, whether or not you're cultivating a culture of trust with your team and teammates. There's something that you're doing every day. You don't just show up on game day, put a uniform on, and then all of a sudden just this magic game day potion takes over, and all of a sudden you're the superstar.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I think we assume happens in our homes. We assume that just because we're home, that something is just supposed to happen just because we're home. And I've seen guys do that. They didn't want to put the work in off the field, but then just assume just because there's people, there's crowd around, and it's game day, you can put on the game day uniform, and you want to run out on the field, and you think all of a sudden you're going to make the play that you've never made before just because it's game day. No. Perfect practice makes perfect. You have to be intentional in your practice and your preparation, and that is what allows the presentation to be excellent. And ultimately, that's what we have to do in our homes. We have to take the same things we understood playing athletics, the same things that we understand at work, and realize that if we want to have success in our homes, we have to be intentional every single day and accomplishing these goals. And so I think we have a few moments left. What are some parting thoughts that you can share with the listening audience who, I can guarantee you, if we asked everyone listening right now, pull out the sheet of paper with your mission statement, how many of them would even have one? Yeah. And so what are some things that we can challenge the listening audience to do to actually get this mission statement, this purpose statement, down so that we can accomplish some goals?
Yeah, I think the first thing I'm going to do is just go back to what we talked about earlier, Freddie, the amount of energy and time and how intentional we will be with those areas that entertain us. Whether it's the tailgate this weekend, whether it's getting ready for deer camp, whether it's getting ready for fantasy football, why is it that we'll willingly put time into that and yet we won't into things that are legacy generational impacting like our families? And that can be a very convicting look at yourself, because you have to start by looking at yourself. And I think as you move from there, you know, Freddie, it's get with your spouse, get on the same page with this. Start little. It doesn't have to be big goals, but bring your kids into the conversation, bring your spouse in the conversation. What is it that we want to achieve as a family? What's different? What's unique about us as a family? And just get some little things down and practice. And celebrate. But teach your kids the importance of planning. Teach your kids the importance of family. Teach your kids the importance of goals and the achievement of goals and the good consequences that come through the achievement. We had talked before, you never know when your kids, it's going to click with your kids. The little ones, you don't know, but I have some older children as well. It's just so cool to hear them speak a language that dad started planting in them when they were in elementary school. It's too important for us to not share the love that we have for our kids by taking an interest in directing their lives with God.
Mm. And so could some of our goals simply be things like praying with our family every day?
Absolutely.
Or having dinner, family dinner, a certain amount of time generally. Like obviously, everyone has different schedules, work schedules, but committing to, okay, we're going to have a sit-down family dinner, everybody, a certain amount of times per week. So that way, these are goals that can easily be accomplished if we just focus on actually doing them.
Absolutely. And like you said, Freddie, those are little things that mean so much. Praying with your children at night, praying with your spouse at night, praying before they go off to school, and protecting family time, protecting dinner time is huge, because that's where so much of this conversation can go, and that's where dad can probe. Who is your best friend? Do you know who your child's best friend is? What's your favorite food? What do they enjoy doing with dad? How is it going with school? What are the big things coming up in your life? What's important to your children? I mean, it's just wonderful time to connect and learn and grow. And, you know, as a father, I think one of the other things, you know, to leave with the guys is we're all a work in process. None of us show up as a dad as a complete package. You know, my dad didn't, and I'm far from that. But our kids teach us how to be good dads, you know, if we choose to listen. Then the other piece is ensuring, you know, Freddie, you've got a bunch of guys around you like you that also want to be great dads who you allow to coach and speak into your life.
Wow. Thank you so much, Scott, for joining us. I think I have a page of notes here that I'm going to be adding to my playbook, and hopefully you all listening in also are added to your playbook as well, of things we can do to easily impact our families. Scott, thank you so much. When we come back after the break, we're going to have Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy give his thoughts on humility and success and the All-Pro Dad Play of the Day. You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show.
By me.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Are you ready for an old-school, in-your-face discussion of professional college and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football-related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kinnard. You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative. From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to The Freddie Scott Show.
There's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. There's a fine line between humble and not enough self-confidence. And I think many times today we kind of think we have to blow our own horn. We think we have to advertise how good we are to get people to notice. And I think we're kind of losing the importance of being humble, of following directions, of following other people, of not feeling that you're the greatest, feeling that you can do it, you can get the job done, but that you don't have all the answers. And to me, that's the people that succeed, the people that are driven, who want to do well, but realize I can learn from everyone, and I don't have all the answers. And if you take that attitude, normally those are the people that succeed in the long run. One of my favorite verses in the Bible says pride goes before destruction. And many times you're on the way, things are happening well, you're being blessed, and you start to feel like it's all you and that you can't fail. And those are the people that I think hit that swift road downhill. But the person that says, you know what, even when I'm doing well, I know that a lot of it is the Lord blessing me, it's the people around me, my team, my support staff. Those people continue to work hard and continue to grow, and I think the humble person is the one that's successful in the long run.
That was Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy giving his thoughts on the importance of humility and success in life, and I think that's very, very appropriate to talk about when you're talking about leading your family. A lot of us, I don't know about you, but I sort of grew up with this mentality that, you know, men are the dominant figure in the home and sort of leading with this iron fist. And in reality, that is not a reflection of the character and nature of God. That's not the way we should successfully be love and lead our family, because that is not the approach that anybody resonates with. I think learning as a man to be humble in my home, to be teachable in my home, to realize that I don't know everything, and don't even try to act like I know everything. I think credibility with our kids is so important because, you know, as you notice, as our kids get older, our kids start really identifying and knowing what's right and wrong, and they know what daddy knows and what daddy doesn't know. And one of the most important things that we as men need to make sure we maintain is credibility with our kids, because if they ask us things and we know we don't know the answer to, but we still continue to act like we do, instead of just being humble and say, you know what, son, or you know what, baby girl, I don't know. You know, being humble enough to even admit that and then say, you know what, let's find out the answer together, or let's look it up online together. I think that in and of itself will allow us to be more successful leaders in our home, because it allows our kids to know that, you know what, my dad was honest with me. He was honest with himself, and I can trust him that whatever he says is going to be the right thing and it's going to be the honest thing. I know I appreciate everyone that was on the show earlier. If you just joined us, you missed Lamar Campbell, host of the game of Life After the Game on Voice America. You also heard from Colt McCoy talking about his take on success. And, of course, Scott Baker shared some excellent tips on success for the family. And one of the things he had mentioned before he closed the show, he mentioned doing a SWOT assessment. Now, SWOT is not like the movie SWAT, the action, and they got the guns and everything getting ready to take someone out. It's not SWAT. It's SWOT, SWOT. And what that word means, what that means is the S means you identify the strengths of your family. What are those strengths? And he talked about that. What are the things, what are your strengths? What are your wife's strengths? What are your children's strengths? What are those things? And maybe have maybe five bullet points of, you know, five things that you do very well, that your wife does very well, that your children do very well. The W is for weaknesses. What are my weaknesses? What am I not good at? What do I need help with? And now sometimes that can be the hard thing to do, because again, if you don't practice humility, if you don't practice being humble, those are the things that we never want to focus on. Those are the things that we never want to address. And to be honest with you, if you never address your weakness, then you know what? Those things will always be a weakness. And you know the cliche, you're only as strong as your weakest link. That would be like the Indianapolis Colts having Peyton Manning. The strongest asset to their team is their quarterback. What would that team be able to do if the weakest point of that team was their offensive line? It would literally make their strongest point irrelevant. And so identify what those weaknesses are. What are your wife's weaknesses? What are your children's weaknesses? Because if we strengthen the weaknesses, we're also strengthening our families. The O stands for opportunities. What are our opportunities as a family? What are my opportunities? What things can I do to grow? What things can I do that are opportunities in my life to be more successful, to tap into the passion that God has given me? What are the opportunities that are right there for myself, for my wife, and for my children? And then the T represents threats. What are the threats that are threatening me, threatening my wife, threatening my children? And again, that's something else you have to be very open and honest with yourself and say, you know, yeah, I am struggling in this area over here, and this is a threat. If this thing wreaks havoc, then you know what, this is going to impact my family in this way. You need to call those things out, identify them, and deal with them as well. We have an All-Pro Dad play of the day that I'm so thankful for my partnership with them and being a national spokesman for them. They've had some awesome information. You can go to allprodad.com to sign up for a daily play of the day. But here's the thought from All Pro Dad. What is essential to your children eventually climbing that corporate ladder? A management guru, Jim Collins, studied 11 of the most successful American companies in the past 15 years. These businesses averaged over 7 times the stock returns of the general market. The most significant attribute about these businesses is that every one of them had modest CEOs. Collins shares that the starting point of a great company is a humble leader. He notes, when the truly successful CEOs do something right, they walk you over to a window and point to all the reasons, especially all the other people out there contributing to their success. When they do something wrong, they walk to a mirror and assume the blame themselves. So if you are really serious about your children having career success, if you are really serious about your family achieving success, be serious about humility. Remember, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Until next time, this is Freddie Scott reminding you to love and lead your families. This has been the Freddie Scott Show. Next week, we will be having, again, All Pro Dad Play of the Day from All Pro Dad. We'll be featuring, hearing key thoughts from Michael W. Smith, and we'll be hearing from Coach Dungy how he shares with his wife, Lauren, how much he loves her. Until next time, this is Freddie Scott telling you to love and lead your families. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then.
It's all right by me.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.